Mark Shaw, it's great catching up with you. It's been, I don't know, about a year now since the release of a book that I was and remain excited about Dorothy Kilgallen, that you put so much work into, The Reporter Who Knew Too Much. And one of the reasons I reached out to you today is because the JFK assassination is back in the news in a big time way. And it was such a crucial part of your story and premise about the great media star of television, newspapers, radio, and even film, Dorothy Kilgallen, who you put forth the proposition that her mysterious death after filming an episode or broadcasting an episode of What's My Line might have been foul play. And let's go forward. What is there anything in the release of these documents, this partial release of documents, that you think is something we should be looking at?
Yeah, I think so, Michael. It's disappointing, again, that we didn't get everything we're supposed to. You know, this transparency with government never seems to work. I will tell you right off the bat that everything that I've looked at, and I haven't gone through everything, but it doesn't dissuade me in any way from believing that Dorothy Kilgallen's investigation of the JFK assassination is the most credible, most compelling in history. There's just no question in my mind because, again, she was an eyewitness to history back there, back then, when so many other people write about it, but they weren't there. But there's a couple things in here that were interesting, and they do slide into what Dorothy was up to. One is that there's an important document that was released November 24th, 1963. So you have to put that date in perspective. The president's killed 2 days earlier. And it basically says that the memo illustrates J. Edgar Hoover's urgent desire to have something issued so that we can convince the public that Oswald is the real assassin. Something issued so that we can convince the public that Oswald is the real assassin. Well, we know from Dorothy that he was shouting this Oswald alone theory right away. He also sent memos to the attorney general saying we got to say it's Oswald and no one else. And that's what Dorothy picked up on. And if you remember, her first column just 7 days after JFK died was Oswald file must not close. And then she wrote this stream of scathing articles and columns about that issue. And right away, she focused on Jack Ruby, not Lee Harvey Oswald, because she didn't believe Hoover. So I think that's an important aspect that people can remember, that right away, Hoover wanted to send everybody in the wrong direction here. And people may wonder why. Well, if it's a nut like Oswald, then Hoover is not responsible. Nobody could have anticipated this happening. But if there's any sort of conspiracy or whatever it may have been, then he is responsible. So he was pretty smart about that. That's the first thing. The second is the Warren Commission, as you remember, for whatever reasons, that bogus report said Ruby had no connections with the Dallas Police Department. He really didn't know any of those officers and everything. And Dorothy tracked down the fact that that wasn't true, but we get a document that basically talks about Ruby having a good in, is the words, good in with the Dallas Police Department. And that's really important because it leads into he always said that he just kind of happened to be there in that Dallas Police Department basement and shot Oswald, and none of that is true. In fact, I can tell your listeners something that hasn't been revealed. I now have a copy, 2,000 pages long, of the Jack Ruby trial transcripts. They've never been published before, and I'm going to publish them in a follow-up book I'm doing that'll be published next year. And in there, it really talks about what Dorothy listened to when she was at the Ruby trial, where she interviewed Ruby. She's the only one to do so. And what she listened to, and it talks about Ruby said he could pose as a reporter and get by the police that he knew. I mean, these are strong statements that basically are important for history's sake. So I think that document is very important as well. So those are two that people can look at. The third one is that there is a document that really talks about, Oswald being involved and the Cubans and that they said there was an officer said he was a good shot and all these other things. But again, if people look closely at those documents, they're all speculation. there isn't any complete proof with regard to those kinds of things, and that's why Dorothy decided that Oswald was kind of a red herring, that we shouldn't pay attention to him, but Hoover's out there shouting that the American public should. So those things kind of fit in with what Dorothy Kilgallen was doing.
And isn't it frustrating that the government that we are protected against in terms of transparency can always say national security demands that it remains, opaque? It's like, how do you fight that?
54 years later.
Right.
This is 54 years later, and they're still trying to say that there are documents that can't be revealed. But there's a consistent pattern of these kinds of cover-ups by government agencies, whether you go back to the Warren Commission or the Nixon tapes or the Pentagon papers or even the NSA files, and now even today. I mean, what could be the problem 54 years later, and yet they can't give us all the documents?
And even if there is a problem, I want to know about it. obviously there can be problems. It could be embarrassing. It could lead to speculation, worldwide speculation, that some of these agencies have corruption in them, or who knows what. I think it's they're protecting their own asses as opposed to hiding something even more scurrilous. I mean, I think incompetence could be part of it.
I think you would be interested in what I think is not in there that should be revealed and may at some particular point. But there's no documents really condemning J. Edgar Hoover for his non-investigation, really, of the JFK assassination. There's nothing like that. They're going to protect that till the end of the world. So you have that kind of information that was in there. And, in the Reporter Who Knew Too Much, people can read Dorothy's account of what happened back there. The paperback just came out. It's been a very successful book. But you can watch the videos on the DorothyKilgallenStory.org, and you see how she put together this investigation that really at every aspect was looking for transparency. She was trying to find out what really happened. And as you know, I believe it cost her life that she was too close to the truth as November 1965 came around.
You tried to have the case reopened based on some very significant evidence that you compiled with the Manhattan District Attorney. What was the status of that effort on your part?
Well, it's mind-boggling. I worked with them for eight months, giving them every single piece of information I could, new evidence that was provided by readers around the world about Dorothy. Everything was flowing along really well until August, when I had this bizarre phone call with Eugene Hurley, the DA assigned to her case, and the chief investigator, Richard Ramos, and all at once they told me they weren't going to go forward with the investigation. They couldn't find any possibility that Dorothy had been harmed. They went on and on as I asked questions about what the investigation involved. They were they got really upset with me. I'm not going to tell you this. I'm not going to argue with you, Mr. Shaw. And then right before we hung up, they slipped kind of from the script, Hurley did, and said, "And you know, Mark, we don't know who did it." And of course, that was a conflicting statement with the fact that they didn't believe there was any harm. And so we filed a Freedom of Information request trying to find out about the investigation, because I discovered that of the 25 witnesses that I gave them in an evidence report in June, only one was interviewed. So again, for whatever reason, Michael, I mean, we don't know who did it, and then they have the audacity to close an investigation. So I'm going to do the best I can to keep after this, because Dorothy deserves it. As you know, I really feel like she was denied the justice she deserved in 65, and it continues on to today.
Well, anybody whose curiosity is provoked by this conversation, they should definitely get a copy of your book, The Reporter Who Knew Too Much. And now you just say there's a new paperback version out. Does it have any?
Yes.
Is it updated?
Yes.
It
does, because I was able to locate, for instance, Dorothy's butler's daughter, who was an eyewitness to history back in the 60s, and she says things like, and it's in the paperback, government agents, FBI agents, were in the townhouse during the time Dorothy's body was found, and when the police came. They carried documents, Dorothy's documents, in boxes out of the townhouse. And, you know, that's really important, Michael, and there are other things that I've discovered as well. But that's really important because, as you know, Dorothy's investigation file disappeared when she died. And I think that file is still out there. And that's you find the file, you find the killer. I'm going to keep after that.
Who's the publisher of the paperback?
It's Post Hill Press and Simon & Schuster, and they've done a wonderful job with getting the book out there. I'm very blessed with them and their support because, you know how this is. You're a man of the truth. Sometimes you feel like you're a one-man gang, and that's it.
That's important.
And so I appreciate all the support I've gotten.
Let me ask you, are you available for interviews on this conversation is being listened to by people who read Talkers every day. Are you available for interviews to discuss this interesting and provocative and important angle on the JFK murder and on the death? I'll say death. I won't call it a murder, you allege it was, or it might be, of Dorothy Kilgallen? Are you available?
Well, I think there's no question that she was murdered, but people can make up their own mind with the evidence. But of course, because, you know, this all ties in now, with what happened way back then. And I'm kind of amazed that the national media hasn't really focused in on Dorothy enough, that, you know, there should be no discussion of the JFK assassination without her research being included in there. So I would welcome the chance to do that.
How can people get in touch with you?
Well, the easiest way is through email. That's mshawin@yahoo.com. That's mshawin@yahoo.com. MarkShawBooks.com or through the DorothyKilgallenStory.org.
All right, great. In conclusion, you say something very interesting, you know, that you're surprised that there's not more interest in Dorothy Kilgallen, or maybe I'm elaborating on what you said. That's always been something that's bothered me. How many people in today's media don't know who Dorothy Kilgallen was, and she was such an important player in talk radio, in television, in newspapers, in media, and in the way she had investigative journalism going for her at the same time, a gossip page. What an unusual character, and I strongly advise, if for nothing else than your knowledge of the history of modern media, to learn about Dorothy Kilgallen. I know you agree.
Well, yes, they call, you know, the Post called her the most powerful female voice in America. And like I said, I've probably gotten more than 500 personal emails from people around the world who gained new respect for her, said, boy, I wish we had a reporter like Dorothy Kilgallen today. Young journalists saying what an inspiration she was, because as you know, I mean, she was a media icon like no other, a college dropout who rose to the top of her profession. And so, you know, I just think for whatever reason, readers love Dorothy Kilgallen. They want to know more about her. I just wish more of the national media would be interested in Dorothy and what kind of a person she was, what a wonderful journalist she was. And then that, of course, ties into the JFK assassination.
Mark Shaw, thank you for joining us this morning in Talkers.
Thank you, Michael. You're a good man.